Hello everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of the Addicted Podcast. So why am I setting up this podcast? Well, I grew up in the Midlands, I've lived there my whole life, and there aren't really many Charlton fans there. And having a friend group of Premier League fans who have little appreciation or little interest in the Championship relegation battle, I decided to set up a podcast so I finally have somewhere to discuss my views. Now where better to start than the news of the takeover? So the news of the completed takeover is in my eyes both positive and at the same time humbling. Paul Elliott, he makes no outlandish promises or 5-year premiership plans for the club like previous owners have done. Instead, he is committed to stabilising the club and paying the wages. In my opinion, this is exactly what we need. It is untested and untried ownership ideas with a quick success-oriented approach that have caused us to be in the mess we are now. It was stability after our mad exile from the Valley that enabled us to excel as the great club we are, under the leadership of a great Charlton manager in Alan Kirbishley and a squad of players who wanted to play for the badge, and this took us as high as 7th in the Premier League. Now, I don't expect Lee Bowyer to stay at the club, but if he or another manager were able to operate with a sense of certainty and without boardroom drama, I firmly believe we could solidify ourselves as a Championship club and work on from there. To me, this is why Elliott's messaging is so humbling. There's no Premier League promises, but the harsh realisation that we are not a big club and need to realise that and operate within our means and then push on from there. And our means would be a mid-level Championship club and who knows where we can go from there with a bit of investment. Charlton are definitely a weird club. The land the club is on is worth much more than the club itself. And so the club is only profitable to buy if the land can be sold and the assets stripped, which we have seen with our last two owners. However, for the right buyer, the potential is definitely there. We're a London club that has a fan base that would sell out the stadium if the club were to perform towards the top end of the Championship. If Elliott can get this club to the break-even point he mentioned in his interview, whereby the revenue from the club is equaling the turnover and the debt of the club is no longer mounting, more investors may finally be willing to part way with money and invest and help the club achieve its potential. This is what the club needs if it is to get anywhere near the Premier League again, in my opinion. There is no quick fix. There is no 5-year plan. It's a very long process for Charlton Athletic to get back to where we arguably belong. His promise is certainly an attractive prospect for Varney and Barkley, who themselves have big plans for the club. His stabilisation and their investment could see the club achieve future aims that the fans so greatly want. However, obviously this is Charlton and we're very paranoid about anything that comes out of our owners' mouths. But to me, Paul Elliott seemed rational and knowledgeable on what is needed to run our club. Let's just hope I'm right. So, moving on, I wanted to quickly talk about the whole Lyle Taylor situation. And I mean, it's impossible for us fans not to be disappointed with Lyle's decision to finish the season with the club. Well, not to finish the season with the club. Lyle is our best player, and his goals could be the difference for us staying in the Championship. Charlton might not be the biggest club, but is here, he has made his name and enable him to attract attention, be it through funny penalties or, you know, just scoring 28 goals in a season. Now, he doesn't own the club anything. He doesn't owe the club anything. But out of professionalism, you would like to hope he would finish the season for his current club. Personally, I do think it's very poor on his behalf, but he's made his decision. And we need to focus on the task ahead, which is obviously staying up and performing to our best ability in the last 9 games. Now, at this same point, it obviously goes for Chris Solly and David Davis too. However, Lyle will be comfortably the biggest miss of those three. So looking forward to Hull without Lyle. It's obviously a huge game to come back to, and it couldn't really be more important if it tried. Obviously, Hull are 2 points above us, and we're both in pretty dire form. I mean, it's hard to look at the form books, given how long the break's been, and anything could happen. On paper, I'd probably argue Hull are the better team. We have a better manager. I genuinely do worry that no fans could really affect Charlton more than other clubs in the league, because I don't think we have that much quality, and I believe the fans are giving the players such a massive boost, but who knows, we'll see what happens. For the team, I mean, the goalkeeper spot is a given, and in Dylan, I genuinely believe we have one of the best keepers in the league. I know he gets a lot of stick, and honestly, his distribution is appalling, but overall, he's a fantastic shot stopper and a great keeper. And I mean, if he keeps working on his kicking, you know, he might eventually get there. Despite the drubbing by Arsenal last week, where we lost 6-0, he made some great saves, and I expect to see the same in the last 9 games. For me, with Dylan, you always know what you're going to get. He just keeps out shots, simple as that. And he doesn't make too many errors, excluding the playoff final last year, of course. So right back is Adam Matthews. He's a fantastic player, very solid, very good at this level. And I mean, he's the reason why losing Solly is not really an issue. So he's kind of cemented his place at right back there. Left back's a bit more up for grabs. Personally, my preferred left back choice is Purrington, but it'll be interesting to see if Page or Doughty or even Forsikoski are given a chance there. I think it really depends on the game. In a more, you know, backs against the wall game where we're having a lot of defending, I think Purrington's the clear choice, as I think he's a lot better defensively than the others. But where we are potentially hoping to have a bit more of the ball and attack a lot, Page is probably preferable to Purrington. I mean, it depends on his match fitness as well, because we know he hasn't played in a long time. At the same time, Doughty is a massive young talent, and I mean, he can be brought off the bench for some fast, fresh legs in games where we're struggling or also want to attack a bit more. Centre-back is actually quite a tough one for me, and I think there will be a lot of rotation there, as we've seen throughout the whole season. All four of our main centre-backs, Lockyer, Pearce, Saar and Oshalaja, are quite different in terms of what they can bring to the table, but I wouldn't say there's a massive difference in class. Personally, I would go for Lockyer and Saar, but I mean, Pearce is a natural leader, and Oshalaja is also a very, very solid defender on his day. Going into midfield, we have some very solid defensive-minded players. We've got Pratley, we've got Forsikoski, we've got Field, we've got Cullen. They're all very, very good players, actually. Pratley's worked his socks off this season. He's been absolutely excellent. And, I mean, we all know Forsikoski has ability in his locker. Again, his match fitness is up for the debate. Personally, I think, although all four players are pretty solid, I would opt for Cullen and Field. Without doubt, now that Lyle's left, Cullen is our most important player. And I think Sam Field is actually our most underrated player. From what I've seen from Sam Field, he looks a very, very talented player, but sadly, obviously been injured the majority of the season, and we haven't been able to see as much of him as we'd liked. Going forward in midfield, you know, we got Williams, McGeady, Green, and Osthuma. It goes without saying that Williams is comfortably the best of those four, although we know on his day, McGeady can produce a bit of magic. Whether he can do that for Charlton or not remains to be seen. I think, personally, if I had to go for two of them, I'd probably opt for Williams and Green. Williams, he's creative, really cares about playing for the club, and Green, he looks fast, and he's got a lot of talent in his locker. And then potentially bringing McGeady off the bench if more is needed. Up top is arguably where we're lacking the most now, especially with Lyle missing. We got Bon, Hemed, Anike, and obviously Andre Green can play up top as well. It goes without saying, really, that Bond should be starting. He's done pretty well this season with a solid goal return, and he's looked very impressive. His strike partner is a little less obvious. I think Boyer will go for Green, and I think him and Bond actually might link up quite well in the same way that Lecco linked up quite well with Bond earlier in the season. But personally, I actually go against the grain with Charlton fans here, as I actually really like Anike and Hemed. I know they get a lot of stick, and I know their stats don't really back up my opinion, but I feel like they haven't had a proper chance to break into the first team and show what they're truly capable of. And I mean, if we were to go down to League One, I think a front three of Bon, Hemed and Anike would genuinely tear the league apart and hopefully send us straight back up if we were to go down, and we were to keep them, of course, because Hemed's out of contract. I'm not too sure about the other two. Hemed's a workhorse, and I think he's shown some glimpses of his talent, but just not enough. So if he can really play a full game on full confidence, you never know what might come from that. And Anike is an explosive player who uses his pace and his strength against defenders. And he actually, despite obviously not scoring and losing 6-0 to Arsenal, I think he played quite well against the, arguably pretty awful Arsenal defence, but he looked promising, and I hope in the last 9 games they both get to show us their ability a bit. Do I think we would go down? I really don't know, but what I do know is the whole game is absolutely massive. I mean, I'm quite pessimistic when it comes to Charlton. despite believing we do have a pretty good first team and good manager, and I mainly put us being in this position to our pretty back boardroom drama and the mess of the owners we've had, I do have a bad feeling that we are going to lose to Hull, as we just don't seem to create enough chances really in general, and that's kind of been the way it is this season. Who knows though, with a fully fit William, McGeady and Green, we might be able to switch that around, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Hull win with an Anike goal. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but who knows. And that's going to be it for this episode. Hopefully next time I see you, I'm proven wrong. But thanks for listening, and up the Addicts. Come on.